The owners of Starbucks managed to arrange a meeting with the Pope at the Vatican. After receiving a papal blessing, the Starbucks officer whispered, "Your Holiness, we have an offer for you. Starbucks is prepared to donate $100 million to the church. If you change the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily coffee.'" The Pope responds, "That is impossible. That prayer is the word of the Lord. It must not be changed." "Well," said the Starbucks man, "we anticipated your reluctance. For this reason, we will increase our offer to $300 million. My son, it is impossible. For the prayer is the word of the Lord. It must not be changed." The Starbucks representative said, "Your Holiness, we at Starbucks respect your adherence to the faith. But we do have one final offer. We will donate $500 million, that's $500 million, to the great Catholic Church if you'd only change the Lord's Prayer. Please consider it." And he leaves. The next day, the Pope convened with the College of Cardinals. "There is some good news," he announces, "and some bad news. The good news is that the Church will come into $500 million. "And the bad news, Your Holiness?" asked the Cardinal. "We're losing the Wonder Bread account." The Eucharist is truly the bread of wonders. And if you, Pope John Paul II, before his death, one of his last encyclicals was about the Eucharist. And in that, he mentioned some very interesting things. He said that we should have Eucharistic amazement. He said we should be amazed every time we come before the Blessed Sacrament. At Mass or in Eucharistic adoration, we should be filled with awe. We should be filled with wonder at this incredible gift of the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, the same Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Nazareth, the same Jesus who carried the cross through the streets of Jerusalem, the same Jesus who was crucified, who rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. This same Jesus, truly God and truly man, is present in the most blessed sacrament. His body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity, in his glorified, resurrected form, under the appearances of bread and wine. And St. John Paul II said, we should be filled with wonder. We should be filled with amazement at the real presence of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament. In today's gospel, we have the continuation of last week's reading, John chapter 6. Remember, last week Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and with the fish. And today, the crowd follows Jesus again. They get into boats and they came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" What did Jesus say? "Amen, amen," which means, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're not looking for me because of signs. You're looking for me because you had your fill of the loaves." In other words, you wanted another free lunch. They figured they could just follow Jesus around from town to town. They didn't have to bring any food with them. Jesus was going to feed them. Free breakfast, free lunch, free dinner. Jesus says then, "Do not work for food that perishes," which is material things, which, you know, disintegrate and are corrupted, "but work for food that endures for eternal life." What a good reminder that is. Yes, of course, we have to go to work and pay the bills and earn our daily food, but not to get so consumed with the material things that we forget the spiritual things, the spiritual life, especially our relationship with Jesus. That is the most important thing. That endures for eternal life. Our immortal soul will live forever. Ultimately, the most important thing is our relationship with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that is the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. When did he give us this? At the Last Supper. Jesus would give us himself as the bread of life. And then it says, they said to him, "Well, what sign can you do that we might believe in you? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. What can you do?" Well, the word manna is an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word, and because the Jewish people did not know what this mysterious bread was, they asked the question, what is it? So that's what the word manna means. What is it, bread? The word manna means, what is it? Because they weren't sure. I remember teaching a second grade CCD class. I asked the children, what is that Hebrew word that is the bread that God fed his people with? And I'll even give you a hint. It begins with the letter M. And one kid raised his hand, a very smart kid. He said, matzah. I said, you're close. But it's manna. Manna is this heavenly bread. But then Jesus says, it wasn't Moses that gave you this bread from heaven. It was my Father who now gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which came down from heaven, which Jesus did, and gives life to the world, which Jesus did. And they said, sir, give us this bread always. And then Jesus responds, I am the bread of life. So Jesus says that he himself is the bread that came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. What a beautiful phrase that is. Whoever comes to Jesus will never hunger. Whoever believes in him will never thirst. St. Augustine said this in the Confession 1600 years ago. He said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. In other words, nothing can satisfy the human heart, only God. Only Jesus Christ can fill the desires of the human heart. Nothing material can fill the desires of the human heart. People try to fill that with all sorts of things, with riches or power or pleasure. None of those things can satisfy the human heart. Back in the 80s, Springsteen had a song called Hungry Heart. Remember that? He must have read Augustine in Catholic school. The idea is that everybody has this hungry heart. They try to fill it in so many different ways, but it cannot be filled unless it's filled by God, by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what satisfies the human heart. It says he himself is the bread of life. If you come to Jesus, you'll never hunger. If you believe in me, you will never thirst. Some of you have read Tolkien, you know, The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien said in one of his writings, out of all the greatest things on earth, nothing is as great as the Blessed Sacrament, as Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Tolkien was a devout Catholic, and he loved to go to Mass, even daily Mass when he could, because he loved the Eucharist, and that alone fills the desire of the human heart. So as we come to Mass every Sunday, we receive him in Holy Communion. But as you know, the Mass is two parts. The liturgy of the Word, in which it enlightens our mind with the Old Testament readings, from the Psalms, from the New Testament, from the Gospel, then the homily and the intercessions. These things enlighten the mind. But that only leads to the second part of the Mass, which is the liturgy of the Eucharist, the offertory, the consecration, Holy Communion. And there we get to receive Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. So as Catholics, let's appreciate and let's not take for granted this amazing gift of the true presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Let's realize that this is truly the great bread of wonders. And it is something that we should bring when we come to Eucharistic adoration or a holy hour or receive communion, to bring that Eucharistic amazement at this incredible gift that the Lord has given us, the gift of his very self.